This is my first time preaching since I turned 40. Woo, so we'll see how it goes. No, don't clap. Okay, you know good and well. I love it when people are like, it's just a number. I'm like, you're 22. Thank you. When you're 40, I'm going to tell you, well, no, I'll be like way older, but it's fine. I don't want to remember that. But yeah, it's way easier for a younger person to tell you that. Just to clear up something, I've had a lot of questions. No, I don't need glasses. This is my version of a midlife crisis. Some people get pools or cars. I just bought fake glasses. So I don't need an email to explain to me that I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. I don't need to add to it. This is just what I want to do, okay? So, I mean, there are worse things I could have picked up. So let's be okay that it's just a pair of fake glasses from Amazon. Yes, I've bought 6 pairs so far. So there's a problem. But I had birthday money, so it's okay. Don't you love birthday money? Because no one can tell you what to do with it. He's like, I hope you're taking that out of your fun money. I said, you better believe it and look how much fun I'm having. Our 3-year-old wants a pair now. So that's fun. Brian's like, I got LASIK so I didn't have to wear glasses. And then you're trying to figure out all these different pairs to wear. I'm like, I know the irony. So I promise you I am going to preach on something today. Okay, so I just wanted to get past that because a lot of people are like asking different people that, does she need them now? Yeah, all of a sudden I turned 40 and went blind. No. It's like, I can't see. I've heard that happens, but it's not happening to me. So I say that, right? Okay. Today I'm going to tell the side of the story. Brian last week, he talked on Mary's side of the story. I want to talk on Joseph's side of the story, but I want to ask you a favor. Any preconceived idea, any message you've heard about Joseph, because I'm sure on however long you've lived, you've heard that many. So if you're 22, you've heard 22 of them. I want you just to be willing to view this differently. Because the thing that makes the Bible so incredible is we're supposed to be able to take these stories and apply them to our lives. But I think we get confused and think sometimes like, I mean, I'm not going to go and like disobey God and get swallowed by a whale. I get that. But you could go and disobey God and have a lot of problems that are coming at you and coming over you and suffocating you and making you feel like you can't breathe and you're stuck. Okay, so that would be a version of you being inside of a whale. So what we're trying to do is I want you to take these stories and understand we go through these situations. We just have to see it in a different perspective, okay? All right, so today I'm going to be reading out of Matthew 1, verse 18, and I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, if you guys don't know what that is, engaged to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to give you a little history lesson, which I was given to this by my husband, because after last week, after the 9:15 service, at the very end, he said, and, you know, Joseph could divorce her, but he didn't. And I was like, oh, that is so wrong. You can't say that. They weren't even married. So I went back there, you know, because I'm a really sweet wife. And instead of encouraging him on how great the 9:15, I was like, you said something totally wrong, and you need to correct that by 11. I know, I'm so spiritual and precious, aren't I? It's amazing this man is who he is today. And I was like, because let me tell you something. I've been to Bible school and I took history. Oh, I said all this. I'm just being real with you guys. I have issues. And so I said, you can't spend the whole time saying this and then say, he's like, yeah, but technically, if you read in a lot of the, you know, the books or the, they say divorce because, and so I went and looked at the history because he was right. Brandon informed me, I was telling Brandon and the guys that were counting the finances afterward, the story, and he goes, hey, just a little bit of an advice. That's probably the worst thing you could have done to your husband before he preached. I was like, in hindsight, I realize that now, but he actually did amazing at the 11 o'clock, so it's all right. So he did not even come and speak to me after the 9:15. So either I did horrible and he's saving it all till later, or he's just so kind that he doesn't do what I do. So we'll go with that one, or I won't be able to get through this one. So, and y'all want to go home. So, all right. So here we have this story. So let me give you the history of this with Joseph. When you're growing up back in the day, you know, you're at a certain age, people would start to say, hey, these two would go really well together. And so the parents would talk. And so they would promise them to each other. So their engagement was a lot different. It was, hey, you're already promised to marry this person, but we have to wait a year to make sure the girl's not pregnant. Because that will prove she didn't, you know, because just now, like, I don't know if you believe all your teenage, I mean, we were youth pastor for 10 years. I don't care what they tell you they're not doing. Okay? You need to talk to them. Okay. So, and say, that's great, but what are your boundaries? Okay, I don't need to know technically. I need to know, okay, so that's another sermon, so I can help you out with that later. So they would say, it doesn't matter what Mary tells us, son, understand, we're going to wait a year. So here's the interesting part of this story. They were just coming up on this year, and she has to come and tell him that he's pregnant. She has to come and say, hey, Joseph, I'm pregnant. And this was the one thing the family doesn't want to happen because this disgraces the whole family. This interrupts everything. And he knew that. And so, verse 19, and Joseph, her promised husband, being a just and righteous man and not wanting to expose her publicly to shame, planned to send her away and divorce, there's your word, you were 100% right, her quietly. Isn't it funny that he planned to send her away? I want to ask you this morning, how many things have you tried to send away thinking they were from the enemy, but maybe they were from God? See, his automatic reaction was, okay, I'm going to do this thing right, but she can leave. I mean, he's mad. I mean, let's be honest. See, we see this story in hindsight, everything after it's said and done. This is in the beginning of this. Also, I want to say, how many times have you viewed an interruption as a problem? But actually, it's the very thing to lead you to a promise. See, there are a lot of times in our life, and I've experienced these interruptions in my life that are not comfortable, but they did something in sharpening me, preparing me to a promise I was to walk out. And I think it's very interesting that we view interruptions as a bad thing when a lot of times they can be a God thing. Because this is why they're hard for us, is because interruptions don't come with instructions. I don't know if you guys have, you're probably starting to get toys for your kids, and a lot of these new toys look real pretty on Amazon in the picture where it's all put together. But when you get them, there's 1,482 pieces to the toy that you've got to put together, and you lay it all out, and you're still missing two screws that have been taped underneath a flap that you had no idea about that you put into the garage to throw away at the dumpster. After you have looked underneath the sofa after every cushion, thinking your child has taken it and done something with it, and you're saying, did you take this? It's a screw. Because they come with all these instructions from A, B, C, D, here, this. Our walk with God is a faith walk. Comes with the word, comes with his word, but it doesn't come with a rule of instructions. Let me explain to you why I don't think it comes with instructions. I was working at Greater Tulsa Association of Realtors, and I used to help train realtors. So people would come in, and I mean, you'd have like 10 a day that just thought, I'm going to be a realtor. Like, I'm going to sell a house and make as much as I need to make in 1 year. I'm like, that is a great idea, but that is not how this works. It is a lot of work involved. You have to upfront all the costs. But, you know, so I would train them on how to use a key box. And when they couldn't even figure out how to open a key box, I'd just be like, man, okay. Whoa, have fun on your test. And I know it was real encouraging, as you can tell, what I told your story earlier. And so I would actually take the disclosures that came in, because they come in as a certain file. They call them TIFF files, and I had to process them into a PDF so they could be read. I know, real technical, is super easy. And so I would do that. And I remember when I first started, they gave me a list of instructions. And it was almost like this formula of what I had to do. And I was like, perfect. Well, one day I remember doing it, and I took it off my desk and filed it away. And I remember God saying, how come you filed that away? And I thought, this is a weird time to be talking to me, Lord, but about this. And I said, well, because I know how to do it. And he said, well, that's why I can't be a formula. That's why I can't come with one set of instructions. Because if I do, you're going to file me away once you figure it out. And he said, because why does my word said that it's by faith that we please God? So it's trusting in him. And a lot of times we'll see one person get their miracle in a week and yours took a year, but it's because God cannot be put to a formula. So Joseph is in this situation where there is no formula, there is no instructions for this. He couldn't go back to Exodus and think, oh yeah, this is a cool time when a woman got impregnated. No, he knew of a really, 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 really old woman that got pregnant with a baby in her 90s. But there was not anybody that had gotten pregnant at that age by the Holy Spirit. So here we have Joseph having to figure out, what am I going to do? Verse 20 says, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. It's interesting to me that Mary gets to see an angel. He only gets to have a dream. You know, sometimes I think, you know, I've been in meetings before and I've totally done this. Like, there'll be somebody prophesying. I'm like, man, I need a prophecy. And the Holy Spirit's like, I'll give you one anytime you want. I'm like, yeah, but I want it from the stage. Because then it really like means something, you know? And it's like, so everybody can hear. I'm like, that's it. And then I realize there's something's wrong with me. So, you know, it's like, so, I mean, Joseph didn't get an attitude and been like, she gets an angel and then I have to have a dream where an angel talks. Like, why couldn't he just showed up? I think there was an amount of faith that Joseph had to have for his journey. And that's why his miracle had to come a different way. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. So he's reminding him before it was spoken. Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Y'all all have dreams. Okay, I've dreamed I was a president. I am not, just so I can inform you, that did not happen. I'm not anywhere close to being it, but I have dreams of those things. So dreams, a lot of times, we discount. So I'm sure there was a moment where Joseph woke up and thought, am I supposed to take this seriously? But there were things done in the dream that were going to be symbolic, that were going to trigger something for him. One of the things that I think is the most powerful is he goes, Joseph, son of David. Now, if you know anything historically, Joseph's dad's name was Eli. The thing is, Joseph was from the lineage of David. You know, it's interesting to me that we always, me and my friend were talking and we were talking about this and she said this and I thought it was so powerful that we always talk about Mary was the chosen one. Yeah, but Joseph was the one that was in line of David. So maybe Mary was the one that was chosen based on the fact that it was ever who Joseph was going to choose. Because Joseph was the one that was in the lineage of David, not Mary. Yeah, see, Jen, I told you that was a big deal. So see, I asked her if I could steal it. 915 didn't hear that. So I was like, that's so good. I'm going to use it. Because what if the very fact of why Mary was even chosen was just because that's who Joseph chose? See, that's why I love Joseph's story, because I see somebody that had to have an area of faith that is so beyond anything, because it's so easy for us because we see the whole picture. And the reason we have to see stories like this is God's trying to get our attention to say, listen, they didn't see all the picture. They just had to go by one thing to the next thing. Hey, you're going to take her and you're going to name him. He didn't give him any other instructions. Hey, at this age, he's going to start being really smart in this. And then at this age, he's going to do this. And then at this age, he didn't give him anything. He didn't even tell him he's going to be a super obedient child. I mean, for all we know, Jesus could have had issues. I don't know. I mean, they just skipped through the toddler age. Hello. I mean, they didn't tell us. I would like to know. Mary, did he cry, you know, about going to sleep even though you do it every night? Did he call for 8 glasses of water? My daughter will do anything for you to not to close the door. Oh, I need one more high five and a knuckles and a kiss. So we have to go over high five, give her knuckles, and give her a kiss. Oh, I need one more sip of water. Oh, my leg is hurting. I mean, I'm telling you, this kid, it's hilarious. She won't get out of the bed, which is amazing. But now she's doing this thing where I don't know where she learned it from. And she does an evil, like, okay, you know the people that laugh like they're going to take over the world? Dead silent for 10 minutes. Nothing. 10 more minutes. She did this for 30 minutes the other night. We have no idea what she's doing. She looks up in the air and she just laughs. I'm like, do I need to go pray over her? Like, what is happening? So I would like to know about the toddler years. But you know what? They weren't told how it was going to be. We don't see how it's going to be. All we know is Joseph just had to be obedient. We know that there was a moment when Joseph wakes up that, again, his mind goes back to, one, he called me son of David. I know, because I know enough of the word of God, because it said he was a righteous man. So we know that he knew prophecy and the things that have been foretold. I'm sure he was a churchgoer. That he knew there is a prophecy that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah years and years and years and years ago that a virgin would actually get pregnant. So I know that's just not being pulled out of thin air. He called me the son of David. I do remember that, because sometimes I try to man, I downplay who I am based on the only legacy I see, but yet there's a legacy that's so beyond what I see. You know, a lot of times I think for us, we look at the immediate of what we see, and God says, no, I don't think you understand. You're actually my son and my daughter. Like when we know things, we come before the throne room of God speaking from sonship, speaking from being a daughter. We get to put a demand on heaven because the Bible says we are joint heirs with the King of Kings. See, Joseph knew in this moment, wait a second, this could possibly be happening because I do come from the lineage of David. And there is a prophecy. And yet I believe it was in that moment that Joseph had to make a decision. Because so many times we want to send away what God might be bringing, even though it's an interruption, even though it's uncomfortable, even though we don't want it, and this is not the way we planned it, it wakes us up to something. Something begins to happen in us. Plans change. I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to let you know now. Things never go the way you will plan them. It just doesn't happen. Thank God it doesn't, because I think we'd screw up a lot of stuff, if I'm honest. We have to live in a place of trusting, because your ability to believe will change what you see. Joseph, the next day, goes, and everything had changed for him. Why? Because he saw something different. He realized, wait a second. I think something rose up inside of him like, this is, I am called to take this woman who God has put his son inside and to walk out life with her. You know, sometimes you're not the one that gets to carry the promise. Sometimes you'll walk alongside the one that carries the promise. And I think sometimes we want to be the heroes, and a lot of times it's the people you don't see that are the real heroes. That's why I love stories like documentaries and stuff that show things we've never seen. Like I'm going to preface this because we watch everything through VidAngel. I don't know if you have that. It's an awesome app that you can download, and then you can take out cuss words out of movies. It's amazing. And then you can plug a little plug into your TV, HDMI, bam, watch a movie, no cuss words. It's awesome. And we saw this one about there's like military things that have gone in and taken down people that no one knew about the missions. See, but all those things had to take place. And I wonder sometimes, I'm one of those people that sit back and think, what did it take to get me here? Like, what had to take place for me to actually be here? And I'm talking hundreds of years ago. What intricate details had to be brought together that I would be here at this place today? See, we have to trust in that. We have to trust that we're getting ready to walk into 2019, and God had this brilliant idea that you were going to be strong enough to deal with what the world is throwing right now, that you would be a perfect candidate to be here in 2019. He could have had you born in 1950 when it was a little bit easier with stuff, when stuff wasn't thrown at us all the time and every bit of TV and social media, but he chose that you would be awesome at this day and age, at this time, because God has faith in you that you can do it. See, that's what I love, that when this angel spoke to Joseph, it was speaking to him as if Joseph wasn't even going to question it. You notice how God talks to us? It's kind of like he comes, it's that encouragement without you even having room to doubt. Oh, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just lay it on me. Oh, two or more agree on anything, ask your name, it's going to be done. He doesn't say it in questioning form. You ever done that with a kid? Like, okay, I know sometimes it's like, oh, wouldn't you like to maybe go to bed early? And you think by the way you say it, it's encouraging. Like you could lay in bed and look at your Christmas tree. And then you could think about like Christmas and all this. And you're doing this thing because you're trying to psych them up for something that you know good and well does not sound fun. But you think if you make it sound fun enough, they'll do it. Or if you've done that at a job, everybody, I love the movie Elf, and his son comes to work with him, and he goes, have you ever been to a mail room? He's like, oh my gosh, hundreds of letters. And then Buddy the Elf gets down there. He goes, this is not the place that my dad was talking about. You've not just seen that? Okay. Y'all need to watch Elf, okay, because it is funny. What is he trying to, he was trying to encourage him because he was trying to get him to believe that where he was going was incredible. Well, that's what God's doing. He's trying to get you to believe that where you're going is incredible. He's trying to get you to believe that what he has planned is good and it's right and it's perfect, but you got to step out in faith and believe it. Because the problem is we have our own mindset on what is going to work and not work. We have our own agendas. We have our own plans. And God's saying, I need you to step out of your, man, your thought process of what you think would work. Because I did tell you in my Bible that you can lean not to your own understanding, that you just got to trust me. You have to acknowledge me. What is that word acknowledging? What does it mean to acknowledge him? It's saying, you know what? I don't understand this, but I know you're here. You're acknowledging his presence. You're acknowledging that he's here. I don't see you at work, but I know you're here. I don't understand what you're doing, but I know you're here. I don't get any of this and why I'm having to face this, but I know you're here. You know, when we went through our miscarriage, I remember being in that place on the bathroom floor, but I knew he was there. I just cried and just talked to him because I didn't understand why I had to go through it. I didn't understand why. I knew that death doesn't win out because I know how this thing works and I know that baby's in heaven, but I didn't understand why I couldn't have it right then. But I began to just acknowledge who he was so I could see a kingdom perspective, not what I was viewing right now. Because what I believe changed what I saw. Because I'll never forget the next night, we had a service here, so I was going to be leading worship. And I remember Brian just saying, are you okay to lead worship? I was like, I don't know, but I don't know what else to do. Like, it would be super weird for me not to lead, because I feel like that's what I need to do. And because it's like, you know when you just feel made to do something? Like, I enjoy preaching, but I like worship, that is just like what I love to do. And I just told him, I don't know what else to do. So I was up here and I was worshiping and worshiping. And I'm not one of those people that just sees dreams and visions all the time. Or, you know, I don't see really cool things that a lot of people will tell me. I'm like, man, I wish I could see that. And I remember just standing up here and worshiping. All of a sudden, you know that, you know when you watch like a superhero movie and you'll like Superman can look through the wall and the wall kind of opens up. It was like in a moment up here, I had one of those moments. The wall did not open up. Don't freak out. I'm not, you know, people are like leaving the church. I'm just saying in my head, I had this moment where it was like I was going to see something different. And all of a sudden I saw my dad who had passed about a month before he passed. And then 2 weeks later I got pregnant. And then 2 weeks later I miscarried. So this all happened within a month. And so I remember sitting here and all of a sudden I saw my dad and I saw this baby in his hands. And I heard my dad whisper to the baby, hey, that's your mom. She's leading worship. She's really good at it. And I remember just sitting there and tears just began to stream down my face. And I just remember thinking to myself, wow, like my baby has a piece of who I am because my dad's there. My dad has a piece of who I am because the baby's there. And the devil didn't win. And I'm not going to let him win with me. I'm not going to let him win with my emotions. I'm not going to let him stop me from believing that we're going to have a baby or believing for other people. I'm telling you what, for me, that was the last time I ever cried about it. It was supernatural. I mean, I will tell you that it was absolutely supernatural. Not the last time I cried about trying to have a baby. Believe me, I have cried enough for that. I didn't cry ever again because I understood what was happening and I understood a kingdom perspective. See, I look at Joseph, and I think there was a moment after this dream that he had a kingdom perspective. Man, I've been called. I've been called. You know, the scripture says in verse 24, when Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Immediately woke from his sleep and said, come on, let's go. Man, should we have that kind of response to the things that God's asked us? Should we not respond that way when God is calling us? You know, the thing for Joseph that sometimes I think really stinks, when you look at, historically speaking, he had already passed before Jesus ever did his first miracle. He didn't see Jesus die on the cross. But there was something about Jesus that I've always noticed, such a kindness in him. There was something about Jesus that when God spoke, he just did it. When he go into the wilderness for 40, go and do this, go in there. He just went. I think he got that from Joseph. See, Joseph was his father. And if you know anything about fathers, they're called to impart destiny. And I believe what Joseph poured into him, Joseph being a carpenter, he poured into him something about kindness and compassion. And he was not just picked randomly. And that's where I think, hey, Mary's the chosen one. Here's this guy. It'll work. When really all along, I think Joseph was chosen. He's the one with the lineage of David. And then there's Mary, who he had always promised to marry. And God goes, okay, well, this is the one. She's going to bear the Christ. I think sometimes we have to step back and maybe allow ourselves to see things from a different way, from a different angle. You know, I was thinking this week that it was interesting to me that the first miracle that Jesus ever did was at a wedding. And his mom is there, and she's the one that calls out the gift in him, because there was an interruption at the wedding. They ran out of the drink they needed, and I think something triggered for her, because I think she thought back 30 years and said, man, I was planning a wedding once, and an interruption came, and it changed my life. For some reason, I'm just feeling there's something significant about this moment here at this wedding. And I think for her, she knew, wait a second, this is his moment. I remember it was before I was stepping into a wedding that the moment came where he was put inside of me, but now this is a time for me to release what was put inside of me. Now's a time to release who he is. And you hear Mary say, do whatever he says. She didn't boss him around. She told everybody else, listen, and he knew in that moment something shifted. You know, I want to close with this, that faith makes a fool of what makes sense. We cannot do what God's called us to do without faith. But we have to have so much faith that the thing that would make sense looks like a fool. But that's not always seen in the beginning. Because understand, in the beginning, Joseph looked foolish. Everybody knew that you were supposed to wait a whole year to see if she was pregnant. And I know good and well that there was gossip going on, because that's not new. Oh, I've seen her leaving so-and-so's house several times. If you ask me, are you serious? Yeah, we should pray. That's how Christians gossip. They add prayer at the end and they think they can get away with it. Yeah. Yeah, real clever. Okay. That's up in heaven. We'll talk about it. Just because you're willing to pray about something doesn't mean you should be talking about something. Just going to throw that out there. That's free today. Not even in the notes. Even when he was born, well, I knew he wouldn't look anything like Joseph. Look at that. That probably followed them, I don't know for how long. And in some people's eyes, Joseph might have looked like a fool. But Joseph knew what he looked like to God. See, I care about what I look like to God. And I've gotten to a place in my life, and it took me a long time to get here, that I'm just done pleasing people. That was real easy for me, growing up with a lot of just insecurities, and not because anybody put them there. That was just a thing I dealt with in friendships and relationships. And so I would constantly be trying to prove that I was worth something. I was constantly trying to prove that I could be that friend that they needed, or I was always seeking out, trying to find a best friend. And I was always trying to just, you know, and it was just a sad pitfall that just kept happening. And I'll never forget, I'd worked in this youth ministry for 4 years. I'd come out of Bible school, went straight in, because, you know, I didn't want to just become, you know, a single girl youth pastor. I just thought, I felt like guys could do that, but as a girl, no one was really hiring single women to be their youth pastors. And so I remember thinking, well, I'm just going to go somewhere and serve somebody. I know I want to be a youth pastor, but see, in this way, it wasn't my turn to birth something. It was my turn to serve something. You have to know when that time is. And I remember working 4 years with this youth pastor, and the church had started with 75, and we had 825 kids coming in a year. I wrote all the dramas for everything that we did. I helped with all the outreach. I was there late hours doing whatever it took, and it wasn't my job. I wasn't paid a cent. Led worship, whatever it took. And I remember letting him know that I was moving. And I remember sitting in his office, and I'm thinking, there's this moment he's going to be proud of the decision I make and all this stuff. And I remember him looking at me, and he said, are you sure you're called to youth ministry? Oh, church, I could just tell you the feeling that I felt. You know, and I wanted to be strong, because I didn't want to cry in front of him. But I remember walking out of the building, just tears streaming down my face, because I had, you know, I wanted this guy to be proud of what I had served and helped without asking for a penny. I mean, I never even got like a leadership award or a free coffee. I mean, I'm serious. I got nothing. And I remember just walking out thinking, well, this, I mean, 4 years of my life pouring into seventh grade girls. Yeah, exactly. Y'all all know. And I remember, yeah, it's bad, I know. And I remember just crying out to God, just going, and I was walking down the steps in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I was walking down the steps and I heard God say, what does it matter what he thinks? You only need to worry about what I think. And I've called you. One of those seventh grade girls now is pastoring a church of over 12,000 people with her husband right now and doing an incredible job. Saved herself for marriage because I always took all the purity talks because no other girl leaders wanted to do it. I didn't make her who she was. That's not what I'm saying. But I look at the fruit of that and I think I spent countless times talking with her. Countless times pouring into her. You just never know. And sometimes you get a glimpse of things and then sometimes you don't, but you got to trust God in the story that you're in and the plan that he has you. And Joseph was just willing. We know Mary was, be it unto me. But Joseph is a lot like all of us, where I think God's asking us to do something, and maybe we look at where we've come from, the immediate father or mother, and think, I don't know. I mean, this runs in my family. I don't know if this will work. And God's going, man, I need you to look further back. I need you to look further back because you're basing everything off of this moment. And there's so many other moments that led you to this place. And church, as we step into 2019, I want us to be willing to step out in faith so that the things that make sense look foolish. We already know that we do things backwards in the kingdom. We give and God gives us more. You know, most people would say that's not how that works. Well, yeah, in the natural it doesn't, but kingdom has a different multiplication scale. The kingdom does something different. When I give my life, I gain my life. See, it's all backwards, but yet it's the right way. And I want to encourage you this morning. I don't know your story personally. Everybody's in this room. I don't know what your struggle may be, but I do know that the Bible is this perfect instruction booklet that we're supposed to go back to. See, that's one thing I love about Joseph. When that angel was talking to him and he reminded him of the prophecy, that's a perfect example that the Bible is supposed to remind us of what God is saying. The Bible is supposed to remind us of the promises when we are weak and we don't feel like we can remember them. It's there to remind us of what he wants to do for us and through us. It's our instruction book. No, your name's not in it, and it doesn't say go to point A, go point B, go here. But God does say, I will lead you every step of the way. See, we want, well, lead me for the mile, and then let me know the next marker. And God goes, no, this thing is step by step, because I'm not a formula type God. I want you to trust me. I need you. Church, I'm going to be honest, he wants us to need him. Because if I figured out a formula to it, what would I need him for? If I figured out that God always does it this way, and this way, then I would never need to say, God, I don't understand. But see, it's in those interruptions that we're able to say, wait a second. And we can tell our friends, excuse me for a minute. I've got to figure out why, what's going on and what's happening, and never look at an interruption as something that's going to detour you from your purpose. Look at it as something that's going to propel you closer to your promise. Because I promise you, that's the way it should be. And we just need to work to make God proud. At the end of the day, there's two people that we want to make proud. I want to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And in that moment, I know me and myself. I'll say, that's it, I did it. But not before then. See, I can't stop till I hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In that moment will I reach that place where I feel absolute fulfillment. In that moment will I step into everything that was ever promised to me. But there is a life here that we are to live and to pursue with everything inside of us. And if you'll just stand to your feet this morning. And I just want you to pray. Whatever, I'm just going to speak a prayer over us before we leave. But I just want you just to silence every bit of fear that maybe you've dealt with, anxiety, just the things that can come and bombard us, or plans not going the way that you thought they should, or work out the way you want them to. And just decide to see this thing from a different angle, from a different view. So God, I thank you that you are helping us see things in a new way. That God, the things that have come and interrupted our lives, God, let them make us stronger. God, let it be part of your plan. And so God, I know in that, if you interrupted us, I know that you will give us the strength to do everything you've called us to do. So God, teach us this next year to go that we're going into to rest in the fact that you have it all taken care of. God, teach us to rest better. Teach us to trust better. Teach us to lean on you, God, with everything inside of us. And God, let us believe more than we ever have before that God, that you are faithful, that the work you begin, you are faithful to finish and complete in us, in Jesus' name. If you're in this place this morning and you want to accept Jesus in your heart, and maybe you've done it before, maybe it was something you've already done, but you just, man, you feel like I've gone in a different direction, and I just want to step back into that knowing relationship that Jesus is priority. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't mean you're going to get everything cleaned up today. And I think that's a false perception that everything has to be, that you've got to get everything right. No, Jesus is the only one that can help you get everything right. So until he's in your life, you can't get it all right. So your first step is say, okay, God, I'm a mess, but I need you. God, I can't do this thing on my own, but I need you. So if you're in this place this morning and you want to accept Jesus, I just need you to raise your hand so that I can acknowledge you, because I want to pray with you this morning. Thank you for that hand. Because I want to say the prayer with you. If you want to come back to Jesus, raise your hand this morning, because this is why we exist. For you to meet Jesus and live out your purpose. If you'll say this prayer with me, God, I just thank you for who you are, that you sent your son to die on the cross for me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me as white as snow. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.